I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Horribly Hollywood Single, remote from my apartment in Playa Vista. Wow, as the saying goes, what a difference a week makes. I have an audition later today. It's been a bit of a stressful weekend, so just doing some maintenance right now, some self-care. I want to say thank you so much to all the producers, everybody at AfterBuzz TV, Kevin Undergaro, Jeff, Bree, Steven, Ryan, everybody who, Vito, was doing the show. Everybody's just been working tirelessly so that we could still deliver you a show about bad dates. I'm going to be honest, at first, did not want to do it. We have to keep going. Like, we have to, bad dates are never going to stop. The show is not going to stop. And I want to welcome a very special guest today. You know her as the host of What's Your Jersey podcast. She's done stand-up tour.
One stone, or maybe I forgot this was going to be on video. And whatever.
It's my fault because usually I say it in the regular call sheets and I didn't add that this time. And that's my bad, totally. But you are a complete professional because you just rolled with it. And most women, I don't know if they would, but you did. So.
Yeah, we're doing it. This one I haven't done before. It's a metallic foil gold mask.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
You rock it.
To blend with like a Corona color, maybe. I don't know.
Dude, how much different, like, I'm just imagining, I did this show. I finished with your friend Gabby Conti last Monday.
Yeah.
And then literally, I feel like everything just kind of changed for a lot of people in this country, for everybody.
How
have you been doing over the last week? I know you work in very public places, so how are you doing with it?
Oh my God, yes. I've been the psycho who I've literally changed the like latex gloves every like 5 seconds. Yeah. Oh my God, Gus.
Sorry, that's my cat, Gus Cookies. Dude, you have to get down. He's going to do that for a while. He likes climbing. Dude. All right, we're matching colors today. Sorry, yeah. That's a rescue cat that just shows my love because I was originally a dog person and I realized if I wanted to stay with the woman I loved, I was going to have to rescue a cat. So that's a little product of, hey, anyway.
We were the opposite here. Like my boyfriend's allergic to like all animals and all I want is a dog. Oh. And there was one foster dog I was obsessed with that only had one eye and he was so cute. And we came so close to getting him, but my boyfriend was like, I'm too allergic. And now we've been binging High Maintenance. And
oh, yes.
Yeah, this season it's literally the same dog.
The same dog.
One eye, and his name is FOMO, which I relate so much to that because that's like my biggest Achilles heel. Like, I have the worst FOMO for everything. So I'm like, that's my dog.
Who's my dog? You name him Cyclops? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're very sweet because my lady literally would have told me, tough luck. We're getting him and you can quarantine yourself quite literally. I'm just wondering. So let's just throw out a hypothetical right now.
Yeah.
Let's say you and I met on a dating app like a week ago and I was just like, hey, let's just meet up, grab a drink. What would we do this now, I guess, to date? What would you meet with someone? Would you just say, let's just Skype it or Zoom and see what happens?
Normally I would be like, fuck it. Just like go, don't touch. But coming from someone, I'm literally like, I just came back from a run and there was like people that were still in bars and restaurants. And I was looking at them like, what the fuck are you doing? Go home. I bartended on Saturday and Friday and it just felt awkward. Like I hated having to be there and I felt like anyone that walked in, I was like, what are you doing?
Why are you here?
It was just awkward. So I do think everything happens for a reason. And I feel like Love is Blind came out to prepare everyone for dating now.
I just like the emphasis on now.
So. Now, in this climate, I honestly thought it was a show about podcasts because I just heard they were in pods. And I really feel like I should have a bottle of wine, like sitting next to me, but I'm halfway through my like at home workout. So that's going to happen after, right now. I literally, I have my immunity booster and I'm doing it this and then a Celsius.
I thought you were literally holding up a thing of sanitizer and you were going to guzzle it. And I was like, no, it's not what it's for, it's not what it's for. Oh no! And iPod challenge, just guzzle sanitizer. By the way,
that's how you cure coronavirus.
Yeah, that's how you do it. You just drink it and then you hope for the best. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by our gods, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Barack Obama. And they're sitting on either side of me watching in judgment. Hope it's a good show. So obviously, Jacqueline, the show is about bad dates and just how terrible Los Angeles is. There's a quick little thing I want to read. It's from thesinglesociety.com. There's a fantastic blogger in New York. Her name is Nikki Nelson. She writes these bad dates that people either bring in, and it's stuff that's in New York, but I find that typically you could kind of put this to anywhere. So I want to read this to you, see what your thoughts are. I met Tim, a hedge fund financial analyst, there we go, on Bumble, where they talk to you first. I was pleasantly surprised by how quickly he cut through the usual monotonous red tape that is texting back and forth. Yeah, boys first men. And invited me out for an evening that same week, my worst first date ever, in caps. Upon arrival, I approached him, who was sitting at the bar. He immediately stood up to receive me, and I was utterly astonished by the size of this man. My petite frame stands just shy of 5'1", so unlike many women in the online dating community, I am not often concerned with such details such as the height of an individual, because rarely do I meet a guy who is shorter than me. Now, Jacqueline, to be fair, do you mind telling me how tall you are?
I am 5'5", just right in the middle.
5'5", right in the middle, got it. So if you wear heels, you could probably do, like, you have some stilettos, right? You might do 5'7", 5'8", 5'9".
I was six. Born in heels, Adam.
I've seen your photos. I trust that you do workouts in your heels and do them amazingly.
There it is.
Like, as you toss a piece of pizza in the air and magically catch it in your mouth.
Yes. That's what I'm like asking. To just stay medium. Like, I work out to eat pizza and that's it.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. I always was jealous of girls that were really short. I feel like you should either be really short or really tall. Like, really tall is like hot, supermodel. Really short is like cute. I'm a spinner. Like, everyone wants me, you know.
You've met some bad spinners in your time. By the way, this episode, once again, look how close he and I are looking today.
Oh my gosh. You're welcome to this content.
I know. Oh, there we go. Okay, so would a guy typically always need to be taller than you? I take it maybe your boyfriend's taller than you?
No, I feel like I dated a lot of guys with like the short, like hot-headed Italian complex. Like I've had boyfriends. Yeah. Like just right here, go. Same height.
Little Napoleon complex. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Yes.
But you, or what we call the modern day Joe Pesci. Yeah. By the way, did you know, quick little Italian piece of knowledge, because if you're a proper Italian, you have to know the movie Goodfellas. So you know that the character Joe Pesci played in that, he was known for being the little guy who would all like pick on people and beat them up, kill them. But in real life, apparently, the character that he played, he was built like a prize fighter. So he was actually like 6'3". He was ginormous. And then he would just knock people around. So when they cast originally Joe Pesci, he was just like, well, this guy in real life, like he was kind of thinking of the characters like, oh, that's it. It's because he's shorter than all of them. He's got this thing to prove. And it works so much more. But just a little piece of Goodfellas knowledge I want to throw you away.
I love that. I've actually met Joe Pesci, and when I was performing at Sopranos Con, I met Catherine Narducci, who played his wife in The Irishman, and she also played Robert De Niro's wife in A Bronx Tale. And literally, she was sitting eating lunch, and I had my podcast equipment, and I was about to interview one of the like producers from The Sopranos, and she was like, what are you guys doing? And I just sat down and got to talk to her for like an hour. So she's the best.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
By the way, really feeling the face mask stuff, right? I mean,
mine's
really
drying.
Yeah, I know. We're just going to be frozen in stone. I'll go through this.
So I can feel it off.
She meets the guy. I know. At the end, it's just going to be, we're going to look like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho, just peel it off and stare into the mirror with a dead look.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it too. And I'm going to be like, there's an idea to who I am. I'm going to talk to myself and the cat as I lose my mind. Okay. So she comes up to the bar. The guy gets up. She sees he's incredibly, he's shorter than 5'1". So hey, good for this guy. To his credit, I didn't ask about his height, and he didn't offer a number that was clearly fabricated at any point in our conversation or on his profile. Yeah. Donned in my ballet flat shoes, I stood about 2.5 inches taller than Tim. Usually the one to feel particularly dainty next to 99.9% of the men I meet, I suddenly felt oddly monstrous towering over this miniature human. She writes, no problem. Maybe he has a few extra inches somewhere else. Staying positive. There we go. Well, I'm sorry. It's probably not the case. The waitress showed us to our table, and right away, Tim and I got to talking. After sharing the details of how our days went to the office, we began discussing what TV shows we were looking forward to watching now that the weather was becoming crisper by the day. Were you into Mad Men, he asked. That is actually one I couldn't get into for some reason, I replied. Strike one, Tim said, rather aggressively. That's fantastic. This guy is Joe Pesci. Strike one, you mother. All right, so strike one. So it's a strike against someone when they don't like the same show. This guy's great. The waitress came by word. Take our beverage order. Yeah, does he have a brother? And Tim recommended I sample the, I don't know, whiskey, Sazerac whiskey drink from the signature cocktail menu. I'm more of a vodka or gin drinker, not so much into whiskey. Oh yeah. No, that's strike two, he said.
Oh.
Okay, so the whole strike thing has got to stop. Putting strikes against people who don't share your opinions on things like liquor and TV shows is pretty stupid. Tim offered up a pathetic apology and chalked up to being nervous. I accepted and was prepared to start fresh. So you said you work in retail merchandising? Is that like an actual job or just one of those things girls get into because they like playing with clothes and stuff? Oh my God, it's so, this is like Groundhog Day when Bill Murray's talking to Andy McDowell and she's like, well, where I am now in broadcast journaling is like a million years from what I studied in college. And he's like, oh, you didn't study journaling? She's like, no, I studied 17th century French poetry, you know? And he goes, ha, what a waste of time. And then he realizes he ruined the date. So for the sake of not having to hear him speak, I sarcastically conceded and said he was absolutely correct. My bachelor's degree in fashion merchandising and my master's in supply chain management was all because I wanted to play with clothes all day. Oh my God. If he just asked for a blowjob at the end of the meal, that would just be the perfect trifecta to this guy. I finished my meal despite
that.
I would kind of expect now, right?
Yeah.
You just be like, so are you gonna, are we gonna do this? Or are we gonna, you gonna be
like, I would
now?
Be disappointed if he didn't ask for it at that point. Like,
at that point, if he's not, yeah, just gonna rightly objectify you.
Yeah, I need a joke out of this at least. That's a good button.
then you play the Curb music at the end.
Exactly.
Okay. So I finished my meal despite the fact that Tim had completely spoiled my appetite. And hey, if I have to spend my evening with this douche, I may as well try to enjoy the free meal. And when we exited the building, I had every intention of making a beeline for the train to escape the atrocious company I just endured. So we can grab another drink at this whiskey bar I really like down the street, he said rather presumptuously. Although you don't drink whiskey, so it would probably be kind of embarrassing bringing you there. I'm actually going home, I said. This was quite possibly the worst first date I've ever had. And given how short you are, might want to consider a serious personality adjustment. Tim laughed it off as I was just joking. I thanked him for the lovely dinner, then made my way home. I have never been so happy to be back in my tiny studio apartment. Tim texted me the next day as if nothing ever happened. Hey, I had a great time last night. You have an interesting sense of humor. I'd like to do it again, and I guess I can let it slide that you don't like whiskey. Hey, Tim, you can fuck right off. Thoughts?
Yeah. No. I mean,
Tim, slow clap, because Tim hasn't had sex in 10 years, I can tell you that.
No, so many things, so many thoughts. First of all, rookie move for agreeing to go to dinner with someone for a first date.
You're not the first person to bring this up. What do you typically
Never. Do? No, you can't. You cannot. I literally, and I've been with my boyfriend for over 3 years now. We live together.
Nice. Us too. We just did 3 years in January.
Oh my God, us too. Did we start dating on the same day? Yeah.
It's three.
But guys,
January.
Not bragging at all. It's been like a rough decade in Los Angeles dating, so I'm relatable.
No, it's one of the things now where you're so freaking grateful you're not out there in the wild amidst all this crap. Can you imagine if you had to sit through another, what's your favorite color? Could you do it? Put a bullet in my head.
I mean, even like our second date, it was a lot of that conversation. I was like, I don't know about this. And I gave him one more shot. And then the third date was where like, we finally, we did dinner, third date dinner. and it like felt normal. He wasn't a weirdo. He wasn't an asshole to the waiter. That's always a big thing. And yeah,
he how they treat the waiters kiss. And their mothers. That's a big
huge.
Wait, did you say he went in for the kiss on the third? Did he go for the kiss on the first date or waited till the third?
No, not on the first, not on the second. And I was also almost like, what the fuck, on the second. Oh, yeah. But yeah,
did it mess with you a little bit? Were you like, I'm hot, this is weird, he should want to kiss me?
It also happens that him and I both have, like, his last name is Caprio, and I'm related to a ton of Caprios.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His middle name is Phil. My dad and my brother's names are Phil. His mom's name is Phyllis Caprio. I have an aunt, Phyllis Caprio. They like lived in the same. It was all so fucking weird.
Oh.
Yeah. So the first three dates, we were just trying to figure out if we were actually just distant cousins.
Yeah, just 23andMe that shit. You gotta know. I mean, third or fourth cousins, it's fine. Even if it's first. Fine. There's like a 40-50% chance your kids are gonna have webbed feet, but the way things are going, I think you're fine.
Or like no chin.
Yeah.
It's fine. There's implants for that. We've already discussed. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, don't do dinner on a first date at all. That's a rookie move. And I feel like also him calling out everything, he's obviously painfully insecure. The whole like big penis on a short guy thing. I was listening to an interview. It was a podcast with Brandy Glanville, and she was talking about hooking up with Ben Stiller. And I think he appears to be like shorter and tinier, huge penis apparently.
So
that like blew my mind. And I was like, oh, wow.
Really?
I've never encountered like a really short with like a really huge one, but you never know. They're out there apparently.
It happens. Well, do you remember the Speedo scene from Meet the Parents? You get an idea of his package. You get a general, I always figured he's one of the chosen people. Like he's Ben Stiller. There's no way you don't have a career in comedy that long. You're packing.
Right. That confidence level is way too high.
That's
you're hiding something.
Yeah. No. When you're a certain height, and I can thankfully say I'm around the same height as Ben Stiller, 5'7¾", but I say 5'8". Everywhere I go, and then I just hope to God we're never standing next to each other.
Yeah.
You got to sell it. You got to, and you better have a good personality, because if shit doesn't work out, you're gonna they go for the big tall ones. Those are the ones that get picked first. It's like, you know, mat ball back in the day in gym, you know, or kickball or that shit. Like you got to work on your personality.
You got to take it. And also, like they say, like shorter guys like are good at like going downstairs on girls too, because they have to, again, make up for the height. So any short guy I dated, like I say I would try anything twice. Like you never know. Like the first time, like Aperol, not a fan the first time.
Right.
Second time, obsessed. Like all of a sudden, you know, like imagine if I had never given it another chance. All the times I got blacked out this summer and last summer wouldn't have happened.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm agreeing with you, Jacqueline. Like cocaine both times.
Right.
Didn't work. I'm kidding. My fiance has forbid me from ever trying. I'm only allowed weed. He's like, you're way too up as a person. Can you imagine you? Like it would just be terrible and you'd be super like sweaty and the whole morning just preparing for this thing, I was nervous and I didn't know what would work. So I just like cleaned the apartment. I literally just swept, and that's what I do when I'm nervous.
I can tell you swept. It looks like you swept everywhere.
Immaculate, let me tell you. So anyway, Jen, so as we go from a story now into some real life here, why don't you give us a little glimpse? Because I know you got a little bit of an encyclopedia, maybe. I'm going to guess, because you seem to me like someone who, like you said, you try anything twice. I have a feeling you're one of those people who would get out there and date, and you've probably gotten some real doozies.
Oh my God. I mean, for the first 10 years of being out here, I feel like I was a good luck Chuck for like any guy I dated. Like literally, there's a very famous Italian comedian who literally, we dated a little bit, and then he came in and introduced me to his now wife, and I was like, you're welcome.
And it literally was Dane Cook, yeah. No,
yeah. Almost.
Did really well. Yeah, almost.
Almost. The Italian Dane Cook. Yeah, and then there was another comic. I think he worked at After Buzz for a while. Same thing. Like, we went on a lot of dates, and it was just like a lot of dates and like partying and like having fun. But I was never like, I feel like every guy I good luck chucked is now married to like a tiny little blonde named like Jessica or Amanda or like
23 and loves going to the gym and has a new company that someone's investing in.
Exactly. Like he is a blogger.
Her name's Mallory. Yeah. Her name, oh God. So good. It's either Brittany, Ashley, or sometimes Amanda.
Yeah.
Some Caitlin's in there.
Yeah, like that was one thing where like I was a good luck chop to like so many guys, and I honestly like I used to get so upset and I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with me? But like I just don't think I was like ready at the time. Like I just cared too much, and I had like read too many dating books and was all into like I was into it, like why men love bitches and like how to be a guy's girl, and I was like, I don't get it, I love football, and like
you do like,
You know, and I think my breaking point, I was bartending and like doing stand up, and this guy came into the bar, handed me his black Amex, and just like started talking football with me. And he was like, I remember you from a few years ago, like you're a Giants fan. Cut to the biggest mistake you could ever make. He lived in Marina Del Rey, and I Ubered myself to Marina Del Rey.
Marina Del Rey? Where do you, do you live in Hollywood? Or are you a
I live in West Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. And the biggest thing, like for a first date, you should never pay more than like $5 to $10 for an Uber. Like that was a $30 Uber ride.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Did you even offer to pay for your Uber at least? Or
no, and he had a fucking black card.
Ugh. Hey, I want to show you how much money I have. Not that I'm ever going to spend it on you, but other women.
But I got it here. I'm waiting for
the
Amanda.
Are we still going to have sex? Yeah. Are we still going to have sex? I got to go. Great. I got to go. Sorry.
And like, I was so, they used to call me the goalie. I'd be like, no, like I would never like have sex with a guy for like a while. Cause I thought like that, like you would wait a certain amount of time. No, it's like once a guy is like into you and they respect you, like it doesn't matter how long, like it's just like when they're like ready. Like I just didn't realize it. And I would like Uber myself over and over again to Marina Del Rey. And he loved the Cowboys, which like being a Giants fan, like having to pay for an Uber and listen to how much he loved the Cowboys. And he would always like hold over my head, like maybe I should fly us out to like go to a Cowboys game. We can like stand on the sidelines. But like when it came down to it, I like would call him on his bluff and be like, okay, are you going to buy the tickets? And he'd be like, well, no, you should look up prices. You could fly yourself down. But like I'll get us on the field.
No, it's just he has to bring his wife on the plane first, and then he has to work that out separately.
His wife hates football, so you know. No,
but that's good for you, so
yeah. I wish that was the case. Like I wish there was like another woman. He was just a dick and lazy. Hi Brian, if you're watching.
It's my brother. He's in
there. Yeah. Right. That like kind of broke me. Like I remember the last time I had like Ubered myself to Marina Del Rey to like hook up. I remember he made us go bike riding. I am deathly afraid of bike riding like through a city. We went on a bike ride from Marina Del Rey to Hermosa.
That's like 15 miles.
I know. And he was like Snapchatting the whole time and like almost hit like four people. Like it was just like he had red flag and douchebag written all over him. But I was just like, no, like this guy, like he likes football and like has a black heart. Like my priorities were all fucked up.
Sure.
Yeah. And I also thought it was like kismet that like he remembered me. We had met like a few years prior. So like, of course, like the movies all fuck us up. And I was like, it's a meet cute, you know.
This is the story we'll tell. And then he came back and then he gave me his black card and everything was great. Then he bought me a car. Yeah, everything was just wonderful.
Yeah. And so I finally had like enough, and like he invited me to like Uber again myself, and I just stopped talking to him, and that's when I just didn't give a fuck anymore. Like I feel like I just had like the straw that broke the camel's back moment. And then once I met my now boyfriend, I was talking to other guys. Like I was just like, fuck, like I just didn't give a fuck anymore, you know? Mm. And I think that was kind of the moral of the story, is just not giving,
giving a fuck. Yeah. Oh, or just building it up, because I feel like what guys do too is they'll they'll sit down, they'll have a date with a woman, and she can say a bunch of things that don't necessarily, you can tell she's not as into you, or it's very clear it's not going there, but we'll rationalize it in our heads, oh no, but eventually she's gonna give me the answer that I've been, that, you know, because my mom told me every day I was perfect, so obviously I'm gonna be told everything's great. And listen, I come from, my mom spoiled me completely growing up and just told me how, you know, I was just her little prince and her special soldier and everything was amazing. And it's definitely, I think because I had such a great mom and was given so much love, you know, your 20s are just all about, no, that's your mom. Most women aren't going to think you're amazing just because you got out of bed. You're going to actually have to make some effort and get to know them and, you know, really listen you know, be attentive. So
I literally, there was another one. I've only, like, I don't fall easily, but once I fall for someone, I fall hard.
You fall like Italians. You're going full speed.
In it to win it, like all in. And I remember there was one guy I dated like on and off for probably like 2 or 3 years out here. And it was like long distance. Like he lived in Chicago. So like he'd fly in and we'd hang out again, made him wait forever to have sex.
Yeah.
And like No,
because good for you.
No, he was really fucking with eight other girls.
What do I have to do? But no, I know it's your choice. It is your choice.
No.
Just because a guy gets you, you know, buys you the salmon or steak doesn't mean you owe him dick.
No. Literally. And so. I remember he wanted to spend Valentine's Day together and it was his idea. He was like, I think we should go to this place called Sanctum.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so like, you know what? I'm open to new experiences.
Like, oh, bless your heart.
I know. Like, for those of you that don't know what Sanctum is, it's like a members only high end like sex club in Beverly Hills. Which, if you're walking down the street in Hollywood or West Hollywood, they actually like have like graffiti like on random places. So if you see it, almost looks like a black grenade. And it says, yeah, Sanctum. That's what that is.
That's I just thought that was a high end bar I could never get into when I used to drink a lot and people would always turn me away. It's good to know.
Yeah. And I wish that was like the worst part of the story. The worst part is he invited me every step of the way. My mom was giving, she was like, well, you never know who you're going to meet. Like, maybe you should go. Like,
it's LA. You can network. God forbid. Exactly. Jump in the group sex circle. You don't know what casting director is there. You have to do it. Listen, I know it sounds crazy. And we're just like, no, I would never do that. But then, you know, you're not working for a while. You're like, maybe I should go to the club and put my hand out, see what happens. You don't have to look. I don't know.
It's like, where would I keep my business cards?
Oh, this is my headshot. As you pull it out. Like, oh, sorry. Flipped on the lube. Yeah. There we go. There it is.
The worst part is that I finally like accepted that that's what we were going to do. And then he ghosted me on Valentine's Day, like didn't call, didn't do anything.
What? And,
yeah. So like, I even like was mentally prepared to like fucking go to this.
You were mentally prepared for just an octopus dick orgy probably. And you psyched yourself up.
Yes.
That never happened.
That's it never happened. I was spray tanned. I was waxed. I had gotten a new weave. Like I was ready. And it just never happened. So that was even like more of a mind fuck. Like, and the fact that like I didn't just give up at that point in LA, like that was probably like 6 or 7 years ago, but like that's the kind of shit.
That's maybe one of the best. Jeez. Oh my God.
Ghosted for your orgy on Valentine's Day.
Ghosted for your high end orgy. Oh wait, did I lose your video here?
Sorry, that's crazy. My cousin is calling with my two nieces right now. They're trying to FaceTime. Oh, gosh,
perfect time to bring in the family.
Perfect time.
Woo! So, because you just said some red flags, I'm going to go into some red flags here. Well, the way this works is I'll read you your cards, obviously, because we're not in the same room. And then you tell me, in the words of Step Brothers, what your worst bugaboo is. Like, the number one thing that you could not live with or date. Like, so imagine your guy now. If I named one of these, what's the one that you could not do?
Okay. My mask is peeling off.
I know, mine's starting to, you're doing great. That's it, yeah, it's gonna be like a scene from a horror movie. And then we went to Sanctum.
I can't. I'm triggered.
Jesus. Okay, here. I think I got you. Okay. So yours are this. Yawns every time you start a sentence. It's great for confidence. Counts your calories. That's gonna be fun. And worst smelling person in the world.
That's it.
I give some doozies. Is it the smell?
It's literally, okay, last night when we were making that couple quarantine video.
Loved it.
Thank you. You guys check it out at Jacqueline Murphy G.
What?
Everything. We were sitting next to each other and we had just eaten All About the Bread sandwiches, like takeout. And I don't know why, but he reeked of onions. And I literally, after we finished, I looked at him and I went, what the fuck is going on? And he was just like, and he was like, what? I was like, do you smell yourself? And he was like, no, it's probably you, because he always says I smell like garlic, and then when he walks in the bedroom it smells like pizza, and I'm like, yeah, because I eat it all the time.
Who doesn't love pizza?
I know, exactly.
Okay, I'm taking a photo of this because our masks are like falling apart right now. This is
yes.
Great. You're great. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. So onions can't do it. So it's the bad smell.
Yeah. And I literally like could not be around him, and I was like, ugh! Like I was like, you gotta shower. And then he came back in the bedroom after he showered and he was like, yeah, that was definitely me. Like I smell, and I just can't. Smells, I'm so sensitive. Like I cannot. Like there's a coworker of mine, I worked with him for the first time. He breathed on me and I was like, oh, this isn't gonna work. Like, cause he just had like the worst breath and I couldn't focus. Like it's just no.
Oh no.
Take care of your shit, dude. Well, even we were watching High Maintenance last night and on one episode, yeah. This like girl named Sharona, which was so sexy, literally looked at the high maintenance guy and she was like, you smell.
It matters, man. No matter what, even we're staying in quarantine, I'm putting on my ladies like their favorite cologne for me that she bought. So even if she's having a bad day, she's like, well, you smell really good. I'm like, well, do I? It's just natural pheromones.
It's the key. No, you got to smell good. So that's a red flag.
Okay. And then you've heard of the game Fuck, Marry, Kill. We have a new rendition here called Date, Dump, Divorce. So who would you date, dump, divorce? I'm going to give you three Johns, okay?
Love it.
John Hamm, John Krasinski, John Stamos, date, dump, divorce.
Oh my God, Sophie's choice.
I know, like more if she had triplets instead of just two kids.
Oh my God, this
John
is
Hamm?
So hard.
John Krasinski.
I would probably, okay, John Hamm, I would dump, but only after fucking him as bragging rights, because that's my boyfriend's, like, one, like, gay for dude, like, get out to, like, oh, he's yeah, so gay it. For John Hamm.
Everybody wants to just go into advertising now. Yeah.
I want to get back at him for Kristen Wiig and Bridesmaids. So dump John Hamm after fucking him. And then date and then divorce. I would divorce John Stamos because that means like, you know, we had a life, like
you were together,
alimony, like that's it. You
didn't
know,
work out. You'd be a Rebecca Romijn. That's
exactly. Yeah. It's fine. And then of course John Krasinski. Like, have you seen him talk about fucking what's her name? His wife. Like he loves her.
He's just gaga.
Oh my God. And he's so like underwhelmingly hot. Like you don't realize it.
He grew into his hotness because he was not that. I will just say this as a straight man. I've watched The Office through and through, right? He used to be kind of the chubby, just like whatever dude. And then that guy he grew the beard and he turned 40 and then he did Quiet Place. And then he's just everywhere and being amazing.
Oh my God.
That's proof that any average person like Camille Nanjiani right now, right? Is just like, what the hell? He was a nerd, funniest guy ever, and now he's freaking Captain America.
I can't.
So I'm just like, well, no guy now has an excuse to say like, well, I wasn't born. I don't look like Chris Evans. Like, well, you can if you're determined.
Yeah. Have you seen Chris Pratt over the years? Yeah. It's that he had a glow up.
Although they all say they're so much happier when they're like bigger and just eating whatever because they're just more cuddly and fun, and they're all so much more miserable when they're you're a hot person. I'm more average. I have no idea.
I'm actively gaining weight right now. It's a thing.
Because in another couple weeks you might need to live off that reserve for like 3 or 4 weeks. You don't know. So
we don't
just pack on the hoagies and the pizza because you're gonna have to. And then real quick here, what is a oh my gosh. Sorry, I just realized. So as you, why don't you, sorry, I just got blindsided here by something.
By my beauty?
No, by your beauty. The most wonderful, beautiful thing ever. I'm just realizing I have a quote here for something. Okay, so why don't you go into this now? If you have advice, if you, let's just say it's a magical thing. You could go back in time, or there's a room that you could go into and you could see yourself at 18 and you have 90 seconds to talk to you at 18. What do you tell yourself?
It could be
about love. It could be about anything, but specifically.
Yeah. I would tell myself, stop giving a fuck.
You are not the first woman to say that. Really? They keep saying, why did you care so much about what guys who didn't care about you think?
That's, oh my God. Yeah. And it's weird because like I did pretty good when I was younger, but it's more just stop giving a fuck about what everyone else thinks, you know? Mm-hmm. And that like, just, it doesn't matter if you're not like super skinny or super perfect, like you're fucking cool and just cool. Do you, you know, and just, yeah, do you. That would be the only thing. And maybe don't get drunk in your basement with like a bunch of guys when you're like in eighth grade. You probably shouldn't have done that. That was a weird night.
Oh, man. You were really born for sanctum. You were born for sanctum.
I know.
There's a bunch of guys like, no, dude, I was there.
No, so, that was weird.
Hey, don't do that.
Oh, and also don't bleach your hair and your eyebrows. That was a bad choice. Yeah, don't do that because your hair still doesn't grow back that well. So, you know.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. So real quick, Jacqueline, why don't you give us your handles, anything that you want to promote? Obviously, we're all having a bit more time now with our computers, woo! With our phones. So where can we check you out? Because I think you're absolutely hysterical and I want to keep watching your stuff because it's making
Thank
me laugh.
Thank you, Adam. Just my handle is at Jacqueline Marfugi. So it's JacqueLynMarfugi. And I'm going to try to post more content that makes everyone laugh and happy because that's what we need right now.
Totally.
Right. And what's your Jersey podcast? I'm almost on episode 150 and some of the guests I've had on have just been like epic and they're amazing. And it's been professional athletes, actors, comedians, like life manifestation coaches. I'm having Alex Catalano on tomorrow.
Oh, she's cool.
This is her third time coming on and we're going to do a
best.
Whole, oh, I love her so much. We're going to do a whole coronavirus, like how to like stay sane, healthy, all the things that she's great at. So yeah, check out that podcast. And then I hope it's still going on. I'm producing a show called Rockstar Adjacent at the Rock of Ages Theater. It's the Bourbon Room, Hollywood. It's going to be really cool. There's going to be a band on stage with the comics and we're just going to sing and do comedy and there'll be burlesque dancers. That's April 22nd, Earth Day. Dope. I don't know if it's still happening, but...
Hey, well, fingers crossed that it does because I think you're absolutely wonderful. And obviously when we're back in studio, hopefully in, you know, another 2 months or something like that, I'd love to have you back in person. Please. I think you're absolutely wonderful. And thank you for being a part of this experiment literally today just to see how the show would work. It's different, but I definitely love it and love having you here. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Adam.
You got it. This was hysterical. I'll keep sending you photos of when
this
I'm doing a face
so
mask
fun.
Next.
Please
right?
Do that.
This was it.
Yeah. And our skin's better after doing this. Like, I'm so proud of us. Much.
Yeah. I'm going to rock this audition today. Real quick. Thank you. Real quick. I'll just leave us here with a little quote and then we shall be on our way. Dating is like running out of toilet paper when you really have to go. Dating in LA is just like that, except when you go to the store to buy more, you can't because everyone is hoarding it. Oh, and you also have food poisoning. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Adam Carr. Thank you for joining us today with our lovely guest, Jacqueline Marfugi. She's absolutely wonderful. Thank you to everybody at AfterBuzz TV. Bad dates, please send us emails, horriblyhollywoodsingle@gmail.com. Message me on Facebook, on Instagram at horriblyhollywoodsingle. This is Adam Carr reminding you all, stay horrible, stay single. Hey, we don't judge, and for God's sakes, wash your hands, stay safe out there, and we'll see you guys next week.
Woo! Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you.
I have no idea when we go. Maybe this might keep going.
Remember, we're not just the first. We're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.